We tried to shield our 4-year-old from electoral politics. He overheard things, of course, people saying Donald Trump is not a good man. At 4, you're taught to be nice and do the right thing. We didn't say anything the day after the election, but he heard about it at daycare. That night, he said to his mother as she was putting him to bed, "Mommy, Trump won the election." "Yes, sweetie, I know," she said. Then he broke down in tears. Rattled, she asked why he was crying. "I don't know." Confusion was the most immediate response for many. Why had this happened? What was coming next? Why did it hit us so hard? I lost it a little myself the morning after when I realized that my son and 3-year-old daughter would first learn about the American president during the Trump years. I remember learning about the presidency with awe and inspiration. A child's naivety, sure, but I saw the president as an ideal, the best we can be. I don't want my children to hear the president talking about women the way Trump does. My son better never speak about women like that. No one better talk to my daughter that way. What overwhelmed me was the symbolism. I thought then, still think now, that the lasting damage of Trump's election will not be the policies enacted, which can be checked and balanced or reversed over time, but the message sent to a generation of young girls and boys about how to achieve success. Whining, lying, cheating, and being an asshole are now demonstrable paths to success in America, a new generation socialized to behavior we had hoped to leave behind in the 20th century. I teach in a liberal bubble, Harvard University, within a liberal bubble, Cambridge, within a liberal bubble, New England. The day after the election, no one made eye contact on the subway. We stared at the floor in silence. No pleasantries with the teachers when I dropped my kids at daycare. Was she a Trump voter? They were asking the same about me. Could a preschool teacher support Trump? A college professor? Anything was possible. The rules had been rewritten. Nothing made sense. You know who wasn't surprised when Trump won? Asked many marginalized Americans. The day after, back in my conservative hometown in Kansas, there weren't any celebrations. If anything, they felt buyer's remorse. The symbolic votes cast to send a message to Washington brought a result that few thought possible. Those who bought Trump and his policies would now have to own them, the Oppenheimers of Trump. The major players in the election, Trump, Clinton, Obama, spoke to the nation that day about unity, reconciliation, and putting the past behind us. They wanted to stave off unrest and violence from disaffected Americans who feared a Trump presidency. Those appeals were absurd. When a bully takes over the schoolyard, we don't tell our children that we owe him a chance to lead. And those desires for safety and security clashed with our equally valid desire for analysis and understanding. Why did things happen as they happened? How did we get here? What are we supposed to think now? So first, we felt it as human beings. Only later did we try to understand it as academics. How do we explain this to our kids? Was the refrain at home. At work, how do we talk about this in class? It became important for people in positions of authority, parents, teachers, ministers, governors, etc., to affirm the value of honesty, kindness, respect for the dignity of all human beings, and the community's commitment to protect and support anyone feeling afraid, sad, or uncertain. I've always been pretty progressive in my politics, but viewed such gestures as a little too precious for my tastes. Those values make up the unspoken moral fabric of America, I thought. That was no longer tenable. In the days after the election, a friend back in Kansas with a biracial daughter was called, to her face, in front of the kid on 2 separate occasions, a slur so horrible I won't repeat it here. Our commitment to basic human decency needed to be made explicit, even if it felt hokey